Welcome to Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast, episode 22. I'm your host, Melissa Goodwin, outdoor guide, photographer, and founder of Girl Gotta Hike. This podcast features interviews with adventurous women, plus trail tips and hiking advice for those who want to disconnect from the daily grind. On this episode, I go for a walk in Pine Hill with Alex McLean, a Catskills 3500 peak completionist, long path end-to-ender, and outdoor apparel designer. Alex's outdoor adventures began as a child, hiking and camping with family in her home state of Indiana. But it wasn't until she moved to New York City to pursue a career in fashion design that she began to notice how spending time in the outdoors became essential for both her mental health and her creativity. Like many carless New Yorkers, Alex utilized regional public transit to get her out of the city and into the woods, and soon found herself hiking even further upstate, summiting all of the Catskill 3500 peaks and section hiking all 357 miles of New York State's Long Path in just a couple of years. Throughout our conversation, you'll hear how Alex managed to fit all of this adventuring into some very short weekends, how spending so much time on trail inspired her to become a trail maintainer, and how getting furloughed during the pandemic actually allowed for her to land a dream job as a sock designer for Darn Tough. We also go deep on what it takes to make a good sock and how wearing what you love can play a key role in your enjoyment of the outdoors. Stay tuned after the episode to learn how you can connect with Alex and to learn more about Girl Gotta Hike. Regular Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast listeners have already learned how much I appreciate the lightweight stylings of Gossamer Gear's backpacks while out on trail. But their 23-liter Vagabond Jet is a bit like a unicorn kind of pack in that it'll also work for city life. Its integrated laptop and tablet sleeve protects your tech while riding the rails during the week, and its top carry grab handles allow you to keep a good hold on your gear while on a crowded subway car. Should your work take you further afield, it'll also stow away easily under an airplane seat in front of you. When the weekend hits and the trail is calling, just ditch the tablet and you're good to go. Like most other packs in the Gossamer Gear lineup, the Vagabond features a large exterior mesh pocket on the front, which is perfect for stowing away extra layers, stretchy water bottle-sized pockets on the sides, and shoulder strap pockets, perfect for keeping that phone handy for selfies. If you're planning a long day hike with a lot of snacks, or have a hefty commute and don't want your shoulders to bear the brunt of the weight, then don't worry, it even integrates with Gossamer Gear's Fast Belt Hip Belts. For storage-impaired New Yorkers like me, the Vagabond Jet is that sweet and stylish pack that actually works for both trail and town. As a special treat, Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast listeners can use the code GIRLGOTTAHIKEGOSSAMER to get 15% off your first purchase at gossamergear.com. That's GIRLGOTTAHIKEGOSSAMER, and be sure to follow the link in the show notes to find out more about the Vagabond Jet and all of Gossamer Gear's other offerings. Welcome to Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast. I'm here in the Catskills with Alex McLean, a hiker extraordinaire, a long path completionist. What would you say? Is that the right term?
Yeah, long path end-to-ender.
End-to-ender. Yes. Nice. Long path end-to-ender, New York, New Jersey Trail Conference trail maintainer.
Yeah.
And what I think is one of the coolest jobs out there is a designer for Darn Tough socks. So, Alex, welcome to Pine Hill.
Thank you. It's quite lovely here.
Thank you.
It's a little secret.
Tell me about your background. How did you get interested in the outdoors?
So, I grew up in the Midwest in Indiana. And
not so many hills there in Indiana.
No, not at all. There's a bunch of canyons and bluffs.
Oh, okay.
Which is cool. Growing up, I did a lot of camping and fishing with my parents in the summertime. And I always remember exploring the woods in the backyard. And it wasn't until college I was dating a guy and we just kind of like fell in love with hiking.
Nice.
You know, we kind of made a goal to hike every state park in Indiana. That did not happen. But we saw a lot of cool stuff. And then it wasn't until I moved to New York, my first 6 months, you know, I was definitely missing the outdoors. I didn't know where you could hike.
Yeah. So you moved from Midwest, from Indiana? Is that where you went to college?
Yes.
And straight to New York City?
Yes.
Yes. That is a big jump.
Yes. It is. Considering I came from a village of like 800 folks to
800
New York City.
800 to 8 million.
Yeah,
you know, no big deal.
But I remember 6 months in New York, I discovered the Metro North. Mm-hmm. And I saw you could get to all these trails. And so my first hike, like many New Yorkers, was Bear Mountain.
Yes.
And I fell in love. It was my first mountain.
Awesome.
Technically, even though, you know, Bear Mountain is just a little over 1,200 feet or whatever.
Yeah, Bear Mountain being just, you know, like 34 miles north of New York City,
yep,
is definitely one of the places that New York City residents first hit if they're going to hit the trails.
Absolutely.
I think that's
a
major stop, yeah.
So after Bear Mountain, I'm like, okay, where else can I, what other trailheads can I get to? Yeah. So I just became obsessed. I bought me a proper pair of hiking boots that actually fit me because my first boots in college did not fit. Mm. I explored a lot and I hiked my first real mountain in the Catskills.
What had been the highest peak in, well, actually, I've been to the high peak of Indiana.
Have you?
I have. It's, my parents are, for a while, were checking off state high points. And I had,
that's a thing.
It's,
yep,
a
I've
thing.
Heard of it.
I have some family in Indiana and we were there, unfortunately, for a funeral. But while we were there, we decided to check off a high peak. And it was really interesting. I can't remember the elevation, but it was like
where
400
was it?
Feet above sea level. I'll have to add that into the show notes because I can't remember. But you drive along a rural road,
yep,
alongside probably a cornfield.
Yep.
Park on the side of the road, follow a hedgerow about 40 yards, and then there's a fence stile. You go up and over this fence stile, and then there was a little cairn full of rocks.
Really?
And I think there was maybe even a notebook and a login.
No way.
And so, yeah. So we summited the high peak
of Indiana.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I don't think I've ever been there, unfortunately.
Well, if you have family, then maybe next time.
Next time I'll find it and I'll summit.
So Bear Mountain was your first big mountain.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I spent a good, I don't know, the next year, mm-hmm, exploring Harriman and Cold Spring and Beacon and...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went to the Catskills and Panther and Giant Ledge was my first. Again, I think most of the folks, that's probably their first.
Oh, yeah.
Catskill Mountain.
That's a good one. So Giant Ledge and Panther.
Giant Ledge and Panther.
Were your first Catskill peaks.
They were.
Did you have good weather?
Oh, I had beautiful weather.
Nice.
I believe it was June and sunny, mm-hmm, and just perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Nice. Were you hooked? That was it?
Oh, I was hooked.
Yeah.
But at the time, I had no idea that there were 35 high peaks and that it was a thing to hike them all. Until a year later when I came and did Plateau, which was really, really tough.
Yes.
Very steep on one side. And that's whenever I pull out the map and be like, huh, there are 35 high peaks over 3,500 feet. I want to hike them all.
Nice.
I spent the next 2.5-3 years completing all those. And during my time in the Catskills and also exploring Harriman, I came across these aqua blazes. And I'm like, what is this? Does this connect? So I came home and did some research and come to find out that it's a long path. And it's New York's long trail. It's 358 miles from the 175th Street Subway Station in New York City. And it goes all the way, currently it ends just west of Albany, mm-hmm, in Thatcher State Park.
Yeah, I saw that there's plans to extend the trail to connect with the Northville Placid Trail.
That is true, yes.
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
has been the ultimate goal for a while, but there's still a lot of roadblocks on, mm-hmm, the current long path, and their goal was to try to eliminate that before they extend the trail up north.
Yep.
But I found out this last year that they're looking for volunteers to start making that connection happen.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, some of the regular Girl Gotta Hike hikers, as part of our public transit series, have hiked the section from the train station over the bridge, the subway station,
uh-huh,
over the GW Bridge and up a little bit in the Palisades on the west side.
Awesome.
Of the Hudson there. And then I've also taken hikers out. You know, it runs through some of my favorite state parks, Minnewaska and, you know, Bear Mountain and Harriman, mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm, I'm always coming across the long path, and it is a trail I feel like I would like to do end to end one day.
You totally should, either section hiking it like I did or through hiking it. I mean, it's a unique trail. You get a little bit of everything. You get the city, you get the mountains, you get fields, you get roads. Yeah, you get a taste of everything.
Yeah. So while you did the 3,500 peaks, did you start your section hike of the long
path?
Yes.
Yeah. So I officially started working on the Catskills in 2018.
Okay.
And then it wasn't until January 2019 is when I started section hiking. And I was doing the Catskills with a buddy, mm-hmm. and he lived in the city and he had a vehicle. So whenever he wasn't free on certain weekends, I would hike the long path.
Oh, that's great.
So I would, you know, alternate the two of them.
When you were doing your section hike, did you do long stretches? Like, how long did it take you to go all 358 miles?
It took me 10 months.
Okay.
I would average doing about one or two sections in a weekend. So normally,
we are currently walking on some icy / snowy terrain.
Yes.
Little sun pockets have melted the snow and now the cold has turned them into ice.
Yeah, maybe time for those micro spikes.
Might be time for the micro spikes. Yeah, let's just do it.
Yes.
It's always an adventure on a Girl Gotta Hike podcast. Yeah, so back to the trail. So section hiking, so you'd get to do the whole trail in weekends.
In weekends, yeah. The average section is between 9 to 15 miles.
Okay.
And the shortest section is 4.5 miles.
Oh, interesting.
There by North South Lake, uh-huh. here in the Catskills.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So living in New York City, I did not have a car, so I depended on transportation. And you know, you could get pretty far. You could probably get as far as Phoenicia by taking public transportation. But it's not easy. Luckily, during my second section of the long path, I had met the chair, who used to be the chair of the long path.
Okay.
Andy Garrison, and him and I just became awesome friends. And he's super, super passionate about the trail, and he helped plan my sections.
Oh, that's great.
So he's like, take this bus or take this train to this location. I'll pick you up. I'll drop you off. I'll pick you up. I'll drop you back off at the bus or train.
That's really nice. So is there a network of trail angels or?
There are some trail angels out there for sure. If you go on Facebook, if you follow Friends of the Long Path,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have any questions or need any help, there's someone who lives along the trail that would be more than happy to help you.
Oh, that's great. I know some of these, you know, especially for a trail being so close to New York City, trail access is probably one of the hardest things to come by. And so that's really great that there's a network there. If you don't have your own vehicle or you're not hiking with a friend and you have two vehicles and you park one on each end and do a section, like,
yeah, it could definitely be challenging, but you know, you find a way.
Yeah.
And there's no way I could have completed the long path in a year if it wasn't for Andy and my friends. There's no way.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So on the long path, I know that once it hits Harriman and the Catskills, there's a fair amount of places that you can camp, right? Because you're in state land.
Yes.
What about the section between George Washington Bridge and
Harriman?
Harriman, yeah, essentially.
Technically, camping is not allowed.
Okay.
But, you know, you do go through many towns and those sections, and there are plenty of little hotels and motels.
Oh, that's great.
So you can do that, and there's also a couple folks who live along the long path there, and you can just get in touch with them, and they're more than happy to have you camp in their yard.
That's awesome. So once you hit these mountains, you did not stop, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, doing this, you know, in sections weekend by weekend, is that because you had to get back to New York City for work?
Yes, yeah. So I could only really go up and hike on the weekends. I had a job back in the city, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And my job at the time was exhausting. I felt defeated. I felt like I was just exhausted and I needed a mental break. And mm-hmm. I had found that the trail hiking really inspires me and releases me. And it was basically like my therapy.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't hiking on the weekends, my week would just kind of be ugh.
Yeah.
So,
well, I can imagine it was a big change coming from, you know, small town Midwest to New York City is exhausting to begin with.
Yes.
And then that stress of, you went to school for fashion, is that right?
Yes.
So that New York is like the hub, the epicenter, right? So you went right into the hive, essentially.
I did. And I loved it, but I needed that outlet, you know, and my outlet has always been the outdoors, and the outdoors has always inspired me, rather it be, you know, just the beauty, but I was always inspired by the colors and the textures found in nature, and I wanted to bring that into the garments I was making.
Yeah, so you need to fill that source, fuel your creativity by getting outside.
Yes.
Yeah, it is, I think, the biggest challenge for many New Yorkers is to how to get to that peace, how to get to that solace, you know, how do you get to the outdoors, especially if you don't have a car.
Mm-hmm. And
you had the will. It sounds like you ended up meeting the right people that helped you get to the right place.
And I did. Yeah. I was very determined and dedicated to complete this trail in a year and also to finish the Catskill High Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
I made it a priority for sure.
I know you mentioned that you were sort of doing these two things simultaneously.
Yes.
How did you keep track of all of your, you know, your sections of the long path and then your list of the 3,500 peaks? Like, how did you manage all of that?
Well, I definitely kept my tally sheets updated.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. And I just, based on the sections I did, it was based on what made sense weather-wise, how long I had, especially when I was only relying on transportation. I didn't have friends to help me. I really had to limit my time and the mileage. So
yeah,
I would find a section that I can easily get to and get off of in a reasonable time.
Did you learn that the hard way? Like, have you ever missed a bus? Because I have.
I have not missed a bus. A bus never came once. That was very unfortunate. That was when I was doing the long path.
Yeah.
But no, I became very, very familiar with the bus and train schedules.
Yeah.
I basically memorized it.
I know that you had been doing primarily day hiking from your Indiana college days and even in the beginning of New York.
Yep.
So was hiking on the long path the first time you had done any backpacking?
It was not my first time. My first time backpacking was in Harriman. It was solo. Took me a couple times to successfully do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrified of black bears for the longest time. But whenever I did do longer sections on the long path, I did do backpacking. And I always had a buddy just because I preferred the company.
Absolutely.
And the peace of mind. I fell in love with backpacking. I'd definitely say I'm a big hiker and backpacker. I'm kind of itching to do a backpacking trip.
Yeah. So tell me again, you finished the whole thing in less than a year.
Yes.
When you got to these stretches that were further north, logistically, how did that work into your work schedule? I know that's a big thing for city people, is like trying to jam everything into a weekend.
Yeah.
Was it harder the farther away from home base to get to those sections, or were you able to work with your work schedule, maybe take a few more days?
Definitely could have taken a few more days. I would have to hurry and catch a train right after work on a Friday and head up there. And further north, there's not a lot of foot traffic, you know, and there's definitely no trains or buses that I'm aware of.
I think you're right.
So I definitely had to hike longer days, and that's when I had to backpack. Or else, like, you know, you don't want to keep going up every weekend just to knock one section off. It's best to do a couple sections at a time.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say your longest stretch of your section hike was? How many miles?
The longest would have been 30 miles. It would have been on the last day as well.
Ooh.
And, you know, I was hoping to do it in 2 days, but the last day called for storms and rain. I'm like, oh, I don't want to finish in that. And
no.
Again, I was with my buddy, and he's like, you can do this. You can do this. You know, it's mostly woods, and then you have a long section of road walk where you can pick up the pace. And I'm like, okay. Okay, I can do this. So we woke up at like 5:30, got on the trail by 6:30. And I completed in 12 hours.
Amazing.
Like right on the dot. As soon as it was getting dark, my buddy like helped he met me halfway through. He's like, okay, how are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm really, really sore. but I want to keep going. He's like, okay, here's some ibuprofen. Here's some pizza. I'm like, thank you. And I was off.
It was like a NASCAR pit stop.
Exactly.
Keep going. That's awesome. Congratulations on that trail. You got
thank
to see
you.
Such a unique part of New York.
I did.
Is that what got you interested in helping maintain the trail? Or
yeah,
tell me
I
about
mean,
that.
I learned so much about the Long Path and the maintainers and what they do in order to create this trail. And the Long Path obviously needs some work here and there. And I'm like, I want to give back.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, is there a section that I can get to from train or bus? I'm like, yeah. So I adopted this 5-mile section, I believe in section 9.
Okay.
It's in Orange County. It sees a lot of trash. I remember going through there and I was just very disappointed. So after I completed the trail, that was the first place I went back to and made it all nice. I trimmed some bushes and...
Excellent. Well, that's really cool. And do you think it sees a lot of trash because it's... Is it more suburban
there? It is. It is, unfortunately.
So a lot of day hikers.
Exactly. Exactly.
People perhaps not familiar with trail etiquette.
Yeah.
So how long have you been maintaining that section?
Well, I did for a year, mm-hmm. and then COVID hit, unfortunately.
Right.
I had planned to do a bunch of trail maintenance in the summer of 2020, and unfortunately, COVID kind of threw a wrench in those plans, but I was fortunate enough to move back to Indiana until it was safe to come back. But then one thing led to another, and, you know, got put on for furlough for 3 months. And yeah, during that time, I kind of really questioned what I wanted to do with my career and if I wanted to go back to the city. New York City is wonderful, but what I wanted to do with my career, I wanted to do less fashion and more outdoor apparel because I loved the outdoors. And the four and a half years I was there, I realized that I was caring less about what was trending in the fashion industry and more what was trending in the outdoors.
Sure, and you were spending your time, your spare time.
So I was spending, you know, all my money on outdoor gear to help me perform better instead of buying fashion. So one day I'm like, you know what? I love designing. I love designing garments, apparel, but I love the outdoors. How about I combine the two and be an outdoor apparel designer?
Ooh.
And New York City does not have any outdoor jobs. I've looked, trust me. So I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll move to out west. And, you know, I had a couple leads, but it never happened. I somehow landed in Vermont. Yes.
Not too far away from New York.
Not too far. Shortly after my furlough was over, I had found out that my job was eliminated.
So did you end up coming back to New York?
I did in the middle of the summer.
Okay.
Just to grab all my stuff.
Yeah.
Because I had only packed like a month's worth of clothes back in March. And I'm like, oh, I'll be back.
I feel like everybody like left their desks with coffee cups still on them, probably.
Yep. And so, yeah, I had all my stuff with me. And then whenever I was told I was being laid off, you know, I wasn't too upset. I'm like, okay, you know, I spent all summer revamping my portfolio, trying to make it really outdoor-based.
Mm-hmm.
And a week later, I saw a job posting that Darn Tough was looking for a product designer.
Amazing.
And I'm like, holy crap, this is meant to be. I have been a huge fan of Darn Tough since 2018, is when I first discovered them. And I didn't mention, but I've been a sock designer for the last 5 years.
So prior to Darn Tough, you already were familiar with socks.
Yes, I was.
Tell me the right terminology. Is there a name for that subset of your industry?
It's the soft accessories.
Uh-huh.
So I was basically labeled a soft accessory designer because, you know, I design socks, I design hats, I design soft goods.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that I was never a big sock person when I first got into the industry.
Yeah.
But I saw it was an opportunity and
absolutely.
I took it. And, you know, I definitely questioned why did my path lead me to become a sock designer? But now it totally makes sense because I end up getting the job at Darn Tough.
Mm-hmm. Which is for any of you newbie hikers out there or outdoors interested, Darn Tough is probably for backpacking, for me anyway, like the primo brand of socks. They make socks that last.
Mm-hmm.
They're cushiony in all the right places. Like, had you worn Darn Tough's hiking prior to
yeah
prior to getting that position?
I did. for at least 2-3 years, just gaining hiking friends in the city. You know, I was figuring out what they were all wearing, and everyone recommended Darn Toughs. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try these, and they were the best socks. Like, I never had blisters since then.
Yeah. So you've had the, I was gonna say hands-on experience, but like on-trail foot experience.
Yes.
Before you got there.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. What does it take to be so specialized?
Part of designing Darn Tough is really you got to consider the pattern, the amount of pattern, because you don't want to have a bunch of like strings or tails on the inside, you know? You want to be comfortable. Like, you don't want to feel any irritation, you know? You want to just do what you do and not notice any disturbance. Darn Tough is definitely a high quality, durable, functional sock, you know, that has a purpose. It's a garment that has a purpose to make you perform and excel in the outdoors or whatever you do.
Right. Yeah, you know, the now that you said that, I have had in my mind images of not Darn Toughs, but like other socks, just casual socks that I have had probably in the past, because now even my old Darn Toughs I just use as daily wear and not necessarily hiking wear.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like the pattern, the weave, when you're standing on your feet all day, it really does impact you. Yeah, never thought about that, but you don't want to feel the ends of the strings.
Yeah,
it makes a whole lot of sense.
Like, yeah.
How long has Darn Tough been around?
Darn Tough has been around since 2004.
Okay.
I had no idea that they've been around that long. It all started with a running sock.
Oh, also important. Lots of hard pressure on your feet, mm-hmm. running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just like with our hiking socks, our running socks are meant for running. You know, they have the cushion, the mesh, the compression that you need.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool. So where are you based in Vermont?
We are based in Northfield.
Where Vermont. Is Northfield?
Northfield, I would say, is in north central Vermont, really okay. In the middle of nowhere.
Well, I think, you know, for New Yorkers, New York City residents, people probably know Burlington, which is
yes.
northwest, I would
yes,
say, right?
Yes, I'd say that Northfield is about 50 minutes from Burlington.
Okay. Was that a big change to move to there for work? I know the whole last couple of years have been a big change for everybody, right?
Yeah.
You're in New York City, then you're back in Indiana, and then how does Vermont compare?
It's much colder.
Yes.
Much colder. You know, you got to drive everywhere. You have to have a car.
Yes.
But Vermont is wonderful. I mean, it was a really wonderful transition for me because I've always wanted to live somewhere where there's mountains and easy access to trails and everything outdoors.
Mm-hmm. And so your access to trails there, have you been able to explore the Green Mountains?
Yes. Right now, I'm currently working on what's called the Northeast Kingdom Mountain Challenge, which is in the Northeast Kingdom, the most northern part of Vermont.
Uh-huh.
And I'm working on completing all 20 peaks. They're not necessarily the tallest peaks or the most special peaks.
Mm-hmm.
They're just 20 peaks to go explore up there. And
amazing.
I got 17 out of 20 down in just my first year being there.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm just, you know, there's so many hidden gems, and I explore somewhere new every weekend.
And is the access a little easier? I mean, obviously now you have a car because you have to. There aren't as many public transit options up there.
Correct.
Your weeks and your weekends seem to be now kind of centered around the outdoors.
Yeah.
Is it feeling like nicer as a job, I guess?
Yes. Yeah. And
yeah.
What I was saying over the summertime is I felt like I was on vacation every weekend or every day. And the summertime, you know, it doesn't get dark until 8. And so I get off at 5. And after work, I can go for a paddle. I can go for a hike.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and same thing in the winter, even though in winter the days are much shorter. I'm able to go cross-country skiing or mm-hmm. snowshoeing during the winters.
That's really amazing. Is there a big difference designing socks for athletic purposes versus fashion
yes.
purposes?
Yes.
And is that more what you were doing before, is fashion wear?
Yes, I was designing more fashion-based socks, really with no function. You know, there's cotton poly with fun patterns,
mm-hmm.
and that's fun. But I wanted to design a garment that had a purpose.
Yeah.
And Darn Tough is the perfect example of that. Every sock has a purpose, and it's not all about the color and the patterns. It's really about the functionality of the sock, and I love that.
function first, but they do have some, they have a lot of nice colors and patterns.
Yes.
So as a designer, are you responsible for like, I was going to say for the whole piece from head to toe, but from toe to toe, I'm really pulling out the bad puns on this one.
Toe to the knee.
Yeah. Or are there like even more specialty, or does it all work together?
It all sort of works together.
Yeah.
Because you can have a functional sock with fun colors and patterns. But yeah, I do everything from research to color to designing to fits to, you know, finalizing what this product looks like. I even test wear it to make sure it does perform well.
Mm-hmm. What would the test entail? Going out hiking?
Going out hiking, if it's a hiking sock, yeah. How does it feel out there? You know, does it hold up? If it's a sock that has pattern on the leg, does it irritate you? Does it get holes? You know, what happens when you wear it and also when you wash it? And then same thing whenever you wear a running sock or a snow sock.
Mm.
You know, a snow sock, does all the key features, like do they hit where you want them so that you're not getting blisters or irritation from your ski boots?
Yeah.
You know?
So those are interesting criteria, like things that I know I appreciate when I have a sock on, even if I'm not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever like pull on a pair of, are you always thinking about those things when you pull on a pair of socks now?
Now
that you're in the
yes.
world.
Yeah, I refuse to wear another sock. I will only wear Darn Tough, and now working there,
yeah.
My whole sock drawer is Darn Toughs. It's quite amazing.
It's what everybody gets for Christmas.
I have a sock for everything.
Well, and that's amazing. That's such a cool perk. I really do. I have socks from 10 years ago from almost 11 years ago now, through hiking the AT.
That's incredible.
That have never fallen apart. But I do know something really unique about Darn Tough is their like lifetime guarantee. So tell me a little bit about that, or tell the listeners who might not know about that.
Yeah, so the best thing about Darn Tough, besides the performance and the quality and the coziness of a Darn Tough sock, is if your sock ever gets worn out, if you ever get a little hole or a nick or something is wrong, you can send that sock back and we'll give you free socks in return. It is a pretty amazing deal.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that there's a lot of companies that have like a 100% guarantee.
No.
And obviously it doesn't hurt the bottom line because you're still in business.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, we can learn from those socks you give back to us. You know, we look at the wear points and mm-hmm. we're like, how can we improve?
Yeah.
That's one thing about Darn Tough. We have yet to produce our best sock, and we're constantly learning.
I like that. Yeah. I love that, learning from the socks that come back. Like, is there anything that's surprising to you? Have you ever seen a sock that comes back that you're like, what in the world happened to this? Like, I can't even imagine.
I haven't personally seen any of those, but I'm sure I have coworkers that can tell you stories.
Like, what was this person doing? Were they like skiing down a hill in their socks only or something?
I'm sure we have an archive of unusual socks. Like, what the heck happened
what
to
happened
these?
What happened to these?
What's the story?
What are some common concerns about, well, you mentioned like rubbing.
You're going to buy a sock based on what shoe you wear.
Mm.
My favorites are Crews because I know that no matter what, you know, my shoe is not going to rub on my skin.
What are like standard sock heights? Is there anything standard about the industry?
You have the no-show, which is going to hit right below the ankle.
Okay.
You have the quarter that's going to cover your ankle. You have the micro crew, which is kind of a traditional Darn Tough height and mm-hmm. hiking. It's just a little shorter than a standard crew. And then you also have crew height, which you're going to see that in lifestyle. And we also have boot, which is a little taller.
Would crew hit where it hits your calf?
Yes, it's going to hit like right below your calf.
Okay.
Or right on your calf.
So then a micro crew would be between that and the quarter
yes.
length. And the quarter goes right over your ankle.
Correct.
Okay. Yep.
Ooh, and then you have the boot, which is going to be taller than a micro crew and a crew.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have an OTC, which is over the calf. It's going to hit you right below the knee.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some people like those for running because of compression. And then there's also OTCs in snow because your snow boots are so
tall.
Yep.
Yeah. In terms of wearability, I'm not asking you to divulge any of your, you know, super secret formulas or anything. Is it about the material or is it about the design or the combination?
It's a combination. We use merino wool, mm-hmm. 100%.
What is merino wool?
Merino is a natural fiber. It's sustainable. It has multiple functions, you know, anti-odor, it has wicking, you know, it has all these natural things that you need, and it's great. It's soft, it's non-flammable, which is Ooh. Great around a campfire.
Absolutely. I didn't even think about that, but that is a very important criteria.
Yes. Yeah, it wicks away the sweat, you know. Merino is a great material to wear year-round, and the heat or the cold. Most people think of a wool sock being, you can only wear that in cold months, but that's not true. Mm. You can wear it year-round.
Yeah, I recently made the switch to, like, a merino wool tank or t-shirt for the summer. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised that I stayed just as temperature regulated as, you know, a full 100% poly or something.
Totally.
Wicking shirt. And it was very comfortable and does hold up to smells, which is important when you're on long trails.
Yes.
You're going to smell either way.
Yeah.
But the merino wool does last mm-hmm. quite a bit longer mm-hmm. than your other materials. And so merino is sustainable. It seems like that's important to Darn Tough.
It is.
To be like eco-conscious.
Yes, we're constantly improving. You know, we're trying to find replacements for other yarns we have that's more eco-friendly.
And is that just being born and bred in Vermont? It's part of the ethos?
A bit of it, yeah. And unfortunately, you know, the apparel industry is one of the top polluters of the world. And when I was in college studying fashion, that really caught my attention. And yeah. I'm like, oh, really? Like, I don't want to be a part of that, but I want to be a part of a change. Mm-hmm. So during that time, you're like, I really care about sustainability. I really care about where my clothing comes from. What conditions are these people in to create it? And so, yeah, the outdoor industry is really focusing on how our materials are made. You know, unfortunately, we hike up mountains in plastic. So, you know, the industry is constantly improving on how our outerwear and our gear is made. And but yeah, sustainability is important to Darn Tough. We're constantly improving, and even with our packaging, we're trying to eliminate waste there.
There's so many aspects to being sustainable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And is that company driven? Is that user driven? Is it a little?
I think it's both. Yeah. It is part of Vermont. I mean, in Vermont, a lot of people care about the locals and the land, and you know, you don't want to produce a garment that's gonna destroy the planet. But right now, everything is really company driven. I mean, the whole company, we're really trying to be the best, you know, the best eco-friendly out there. And
everybody who works for Darn Tough probably has a little bit of this environmentalism in them too.
Yeah, I'd say, especially in the product team.
Well, it seems like, you know, the stars have kind of aligned for all of the things that you've been interested in. You know, you are interested in fashion, but functional fashion,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you are interested in the outdoors, and you've landed this amazing job at Darn Tough. What are ways that maybe the garment industry as a whole, or you as an individual, would like to see happen going forward with outdoor gear?
Yeah, I think technology is constantly improving. You know, we're constantly learning of better ways to create a new material. Mm-hmm. Thinking long term, how is this garment, this yarn, this fabric, how is it going to hold up? What is it going to do? What is it going to do? Like, is it going to decompose? Like, where is it going to go when it's at its end life? Mm-hmm. You know, thinking of that. And then also, I see a lot of brands out there recycling old goods. Mm-hmm. When your product is worn out, you either find a new home for it or you recycle it somehow.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Just thinking long term.
Moving away from, like, fast fashion.
Yeah. Fast fashion is... I don't support fast fashion.
It sounds like you could go down a whole nother conversation uh-huh. about the evils of fast fashion.
Yeah.
We don't need to go there at all. No. What would you like to do with this? Well, is it a relatively new job? Post-pandemic, that
it
seems
is.
Relatively
yeah,
new.
I got the job in the middle of COVID, and I moved to somewhere I've never been before. Yeah, I've been with Darn Tough for a year and 2 months.
Awesome.
I absolutely love it. You know, it's really my third job in this industry, and mm-hmm. I love my job. It's a dream job. That's absolutely awesome. I mean, not only am I designing an awesome product, but my team is incredible and the work-life balance is awesome. And the fact that I can test wear my designs outdoors is awesome.
That does sound amazing. Yeah. So being up there in Vermont, and I know you said you were picking off some trails. Are there any other trails, any adventures that have like come to light now that you are able to spend a little more time outdoors instead of in the, you know, rat race of New York City?
Yeah. I actually just got approved to take a few weeks off to through hike the Northville Placid Trail.
Amazing.
This September with my partner. So uh-huh. I'm super stoked about that, to get a through hike under my belt. Mm-hmm. You know, an actual through hike.
Oh, you're first.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, like I've done little like 40, 50 mile trails. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess it's a through hike, but you know, I want something that's over 100 miles under my belt.
Well, you can definitely talk to me about that one.
Great.
Going forward. We had a great time during that. And the fall is an excellent time.
Yes, I'm
for that, watching all the leaves change.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Hoping to go for a swim, too. It shouldn't be that cold. Beginning of September.
Not like today in February. No. In the Catskills.
Don't want a polar plunge.
No polar plunge in the Adirondacks.
Be ice skating.
Right.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm hoping to knock off all of Vermont's high peaks. There's 5 of them. Mm-hmm. I've only done one, unfortunately.
Well, you've only been there a year.
I've only been there a year,
months.
And I've been, you know, knocking off all these other peaks.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I also want to work towards the White Mountains and the Adirondacks. I've done a little bit of them, but I have a long way to go.
Yeah, up there, you are just a few hour drive, actually, from some pretty major mountain
yeah,
ranges.
Yeah, like less than 2 hours both ways. It's
And then Vermont's Green Mountains all yeah, are a range unto themselves. That's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a big change from someone growing up in the relatively flat Midwest.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's a big difference. And every time I go home, like, oh, this is so easy. When I used to say, oh, this is tough. But no, it's zero elevation gain.
I guess it's all relative to what your neighborhood is.
Yeah. Yep.
That's amazing. Well, living in New York City and taking people out hiking, a lot of the hikers I bring on Girl Gotta Hike trips are always asking me about, you know, what shoes to wear, what socks to wear. Mm-hmm. What would you say from a designer's perspective? I mean, besides just plugging Darn Tough, which you are more than welcome to do, but what would you say for someone getting interested in the outdoors? Like you did, you went from day hiking to longer mm-hmm. distances, and now you're living right in the mountains. Like, what would be a good start for somebody when they're trying to look at clothing?
Definitely purchase something you like. Look for something that's going to perform well and hold up, what's going to be comfortable. And, you know, when it comes to design-wise, I mean, yeah, like, pick out your favorite color. What are you drawn to whenever you look at a rack of clothing, you know? Express yourself. I think the outdoors, you know, it's always, for women, it's always been pink. You know, mm-hmm. What's available for outdoor clothing. And
pink, teal, like one shade of purple.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
it.
We're trying to get away from that. We hear you.
Yeah, that's got to be really exciting to be right there in the thick of making these decisions about mm-hmm. what people want. And it seems like there are a lot more sock choices than I've ever seen before. And it is kind of nice that there's a design for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite aspect of the job?
I love designing, and I love creating. Once we're settled on a design, I love the process that goes into making it come alive. I love watching that. And working at Darn Tough, working at the mill, your socks. Darn Tough socks are made there in Vermont. We are a US-made company, and what's so great about the fact that I work at the mill is I can send a design down and I can see it in the same day. And
oh, wow.
You don't get that in most of the industry. You know, in my past, I'd have to wait a couple months.
Oh, it's disjointed.
Yeah.
You're having it made overseas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, once I see it come off the knitting machine, and if there's something I don't like, we can change it then and there, whereas you'd have to wait another couple months.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Seeing my design come to life and seeing it in different colors, because once we're set on a design, we color it up in so many different colors. It's very fun.
Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah, it's a very fun, exciting process.
How do you decide what goes out into the world and what stays in the bin?
Yeah. Well, quality-wise, you know, is it going to hold up? There's some patterns, there's some stitching that's not going to hold up. Like, there's a thing such as tails, and if we see a design that has a bunch of tails, that's automatically a red flag. That's a red flag for us. That's a red flag for production, and we don't want to give the customer a sock that may tear or just look a little crummy. And then design-wise, I mean, what I've learned from Darn Tough is it's very quirky and we're creative, and you don't want to, we don't design something that you already see out there. We want it to be a little funkier. Like, what the heck? What is this on my sock? You know, we want people to like smile or get a laugh out of our designs, the fun pattern designs.
Yeah, one fun thing I noticed last year during the inauguration is that you Darn Tough took the Bernie mittens.
Yeah.
You teamed up. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the maker, Jen Ellis, she is a local Vermonter and she's a teacher, and we partnered with her and we made this sock. You know, it was very similar to Bernie's mittens, and we sold out within like 24 hours. It was crazy, and all the proceeds went to great things. We didn't keep those proceeds. We
donated. Oh, that's awesome.
It.
Oh, that's really fun.
Yes.
Yeah, and so Vermont.
Yes, very Vermont. Yeah. We love to donate to the food bank and just give back. Yeah. Give back to our people.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If any listeners out there have heard you talk a bunch about socks and it's turned their world upside down, like, how would you recommend getting into the industry?
You know, you change over time and you find new passions, and I followed my passion. Like, I love designing and I love the outdoors, and I'm like, why not combine the two and make an awesome career out of it?
Yeah.
You know, and design something they are gonna wear why you hike or do backpacking, whatever.
Yeah. Does it fuels you at work instead of it just being a job?
Yes.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. I mean, it's like a hobby, actually. You know, it's my hobby throughout the week, and then in the weekend I go enjoy my work.
Yeah.
Being outside.
Well, I can't wait to go enjoy your work more on many more trails. And I just want to thank you so much for going on a walk with me today.
Yeah.
If people want to follow you and your adventures, where can I tell them to go?
Follow me at Regretless Red.
Ooh, nice.
I'm a redhead and I try not to regret anything.
I think that is a perfect place to end the podcast. Good motto. And thanks for teaching me a bit about the socks I already knew I loved, but now I know a little more why.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, signing off.
Alex, thank you so much for making your way south from Vermont to revisit the Catskills and go on a hike with Girl Gotta Hike. Your story of being able to find solace in the outdoors as a way to counteract a bustling big city life and demanding career is going to resonate with so many listeners, whether they are city dwellers themselves or anyone anywhere seeking some creative inspiration. Aligning one's personal values with their career ambitions can sometimes seem insurmountable, but the way you've been able to recognize how truly important an outdoors-based life is for your well-being and commit to making it a part of your career too actually makes that old adage of do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life seem doable. Thanks, too, for all of the amazing insight on what it takes to make a great sock, for sharing your tips on getting to the long path and the Catskills via public transit, and especially for your time spent giving back to the trails as a maintainer with the New York-New Jersey Trail Conference. Us users of the trail really appreciate your hard work. Links to Darn Tough, the NYNJTC, and Catskills 3500 Club are all in the show notes. And if you want to keep an eye on Alex's upcoming adventures, then be sure to head over to Instagram and follow her at RegretlessRed. Major thanks this round to Ash Lake on all the awesome editing. Ash is a hiking enthusiast, podcast editor, and producer, as well as screen printer and big fan of Girl Gotta Hike. And thanks, as always, to Brian Bond for the custom-crafted theme song. In need of some special sounds of your own? Email your musical inquiries to brian.e.bond@gmail.com or follow him on Instagram at Brian Bond Music. And major thanks to you, dear listeners, for tuning in to another episode of Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast. With all there is out there to keep your ears engaged, I really appreciate that you've taken the time to lend your ears this way. Know what else I appreciate? 5-star reviews. If you've got a favorite episode, shout it out over on Apple Podcasts or whatever streaming service allows you to leave reviews. Good reviews really help to spread the word about Girl Gotta Hike. It helps me find new listeners, and it even helps me find new people to interview. So I really appreciate it. Girl Gotta Hike connects women with nature, confidence, and camaraderie through guided hikes and backpacking trips from New York City to the Catskills and beyond. Looking to head out on a custom-crafted trip of your own? Then be sure to click on the Hire a Private Guide tab over at girlgottahike.com to let me know what kind of adventure you're aiming to take. Custom trips are open to all and are perfect for those wanting to celebrate milestones, have a family adventure, or check off those bucket list hikes like the Devil's Path, the Catskill 3500 peaks, or sections of the Appalachian Trail. Seeking out some hiking besties of your own? Then click on the event schedule and sign up for a group hike instead. You can head to trail without having a car on the monthly public transit series hikes, or go further afield with your new hiking friends on group hikes in the Hudson Valley and the Catskills. While on the site, you can also check out some handy blog posts, catch up on old episodes, and sign up for my monthly-ish newsletter. Email subscribers get first dibs on event signups. You can also follow me on Instagram at Girl Gotta Hike or on the Girl Gotta Hike Facebook page. Until next time, happy hiking!
What the heck happened to these? What's the story?